BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Okay, my name is Christina. I'm 31 years old and I'm a Ukrainian. I'm a motion designer when it's no war.
A talented illustrator. Until a few weeks ago, she was living in the capital, Kyiv, with her mother.
Before war, I was just working every day and I had dance class 3 times a week, just a normal life.
And then, early in the morning on the 24th of February, everything changed.
I always work until late, so I went to bed at 3 a.m. and at 5 I woke up because of explosions. It was so loud, I understood immediately that the war began.
She found her mother.
And I saw her and I said, take your documents. We started to pack our backpacks. It was bombing outside.
Air raid sirens were sounding across the city. They fled their apartment. She began calling friends and family.
I woke up my close friend. He lives in a neighborhood. He didn't hear anything because he slept very well that night. And I was like, the war began, and he was like, I'm still sleeping. I say, wake up your family.
She got through to her cousin, who lives in Russia.
She was crying. She was really sad. She was like, oh my God, I don't want to lose you. I love you so much. I say, I love you too.
But then something strange happened. When Christina explained that Kyiv was being attacked by Russian forces, her cousin didn't believe her.
She said, I need proofs.
And what did your cousin think is happening in Ukraine?
She says that we are bombing ourselves.
I'm Mariana Spring, and I'm the BBC's specialist disinformation reporter. When the war began in late February, my inbox and social media accounts were flooded with messages from people in Ukraine, Russia, and Britain. And as images of the Russian army on the move were beamed around the world, I was hearing about a very different battle, one that's also having real consequences for the people caught up in it. There's an old saying that the first casualty, when war comes, is truth. And as the war in Ukraine deepens, it's clear that Russia's armed assault is accompanied by an onslaught of disinformation, waged by trolls, state media and influencers, online and beyond. So I began contacting the people who'd been in touch, and those posting about this on their social media accounts. Their stories, like Christina's, are the subject of this series, as well as news stories that we'll be finding as events progress. We'll be hearing about the extraordinary information battle being fought over Ukraine, and the ordinary people being sucked into it. I'm Mariana Spring, and for Radio 4, this is War on Truth. Christina, who we heard from at the start, described to me the morning Kyiv was attacked. As explosions rocked the city, she went with her mother to a bomb shelter.
We stayed there overnight. It was pretty hard and stressful because everyone were reading news, many fakes too, and people like were talking all the time. Babies were crying, dogs were barking, and it was crazy.
As well as her mother, Christina was with some other relatives, including her 2-year-old nephew. When explosions happened,
we told him that it was just a thunder. When we were outside, for example, he doesn't feel a threat. He doesn't know the reality. I understood that we create the reality for our children.
It was while they were in the bomb shelter that she made contact with her cousin.
We had several video chats. Her husband is working for the Russian government. She said, I can't post anything on my social networks about what is going on in Ukraine. And moreover, I need proofs, she said. I say, we are being bombed. I don't know, what proofs should I like give her? Should I like wait until the rocket is enough close to me to take a photo of it? Or I don't know.
And what did your cousin think is happening in Ukraine?
She says that we are bombing ourselves.
What do you say to that?
I say, why would we go and bomb ourselves? I say to her that, come on, they invaded us at night. And she says, yes, they are going to hit only military objects. I say, they are hitting civils. And she says, no, no, it's your Ukrainian army is hitting civils.
And Christina had an idea where her cousin was getting her information from.
From Russian TV. She says, on TV there are videos where Ukrainian army is holding people in the cities. They don't let you out. They kill civils and they bomb your cities.
These are preposterous claims. There is no evidence whatsoever that it's the Ukrainian army attacking Ukrainian civilians. Segments of state media in Russia have been advancing the idea that Russia is somehow liberating Ukrainians, when in fact it's the Russian army that has been invading. State-sponsored TV shows have promoted again and again the idea, without evidence, that gangs of Ukrainian nationalists and Nazis are actually the people attacking civilians, rather than the Russian troops, who they say are on a special operation. And hearing her cousin's outlandish claims reminded Christina of visiting her grandmother in Russia last November, and the potency of some of the TV news shows.
Russian propaganda, it is so strong. Like when I was at my grandmother's place there, I was working, my grandmother would always say, oh, you only work, you should come and watch the news with me. And I say, oh, no, 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 I never watch TV. And she was like, no, you don't want to know what's going on in the world. And now I have heard Russian news, like after each word, they repeat Ukraine. They speak about Ukraine all the time on their news. Ukrainian president is bad, they want to be with Russia. It took years for them to prepare Russian society for this war. They didn't do it just in one day.
But even though Christina had an idea where her cousin was getting this stuff from, it didn't make it any easier to hear.
I understand Russian propaganda makes this up. I don't understand people who believe in it, especially when it's your family.
In the aftermath of fleeing her home, Christina continued to speak with her cousin. But she found their exchanges increasingly strange. Her cousin would express sympathy for her situation, and when Christina tried to explain what was happening, her cousin would get upset and tell her that she'd got it all wrong. And as Christina started posting more about the war online, it swiftly became even more apparent that the two now lived in completely different realities.
I started to post in my Instagram stories everything, what's going on, pictures, videos.
In one video Christina shared, you can see a fireball explosion above flats in Kyiv.
I was sharing many posts. It was depending each time on my mood.
Another post is of a photo showing black plumes coming from a residential building in Bucha.
Mostly I was very angry. Every time I saw a kid was killed or a family was killed, and every bomb, it was like a bomb exploding in my body. So I was posting everything that could be painful for Russians that watch me.
Now her cousin got more upset.
She wrote me several times, like, why are you so angry with Russian people?
Did she ever believe your proof that you sent her of the bomb shelters and the explosions? What did she say to that?
No, she always said that I am making things worse. I mean, for her, we didn't have any war. Like, we spoke, but we didn't understand each other what we were talking about. Like, same language, but different. Like, she says all the words I understand, but I don't understand the sentence. The same for her.
Then came their final exchange. Surprisingly, perhaps, it was about the Swedish homeware shop, IKEA.
The last time when we spoke, it was when we saw the lines to IKEA.
Oh, in Russia, when they were trying to buy stuff because it was closing.
Yes, we saw that lines. We were absolutely, I couldn't believe myself in it, that instead of going to the meetings, outside in the streets to say no to war. You guys take line to buy something in IKEA, a candle or a notebook. I wrote in my Instagram stories that when you will have only 10 minutes to leave your home, you won't need anything from IKEA. And she just unfollowed me after this. IKEA appeared more important for her than her family.
Have you spoken to her since then?
No.
And do you think you'll speak to her ever again?
I don't think so. Ukraine for me is much more important. If I have a cousin and she or he writes me that I'm in danger because your soldiers came to my country and they are killing people, I would believe. I would fight for her.
By the time of the attack on Kyiv, her cousin had believed parts of the narrative promoted by state media in Russia. Unfounded claims that the threat to Ukrainians came from Ukrainian nationalists rather than it being an invasion by Russia. It's a story I've been hearing a lot over the past couple of weeks. People whose reality is being denied, not just by strangers online, but by people they're close to. We'll be unpacking some more of the reasons why and how people have fought back later in the series. It's worth pointing out that in this avalanche of disinformation, I had to go to great lengths to verify Christina's story. Searching her pictures to check out her identity, trawling through old Instagram posts, she shared with me photos of the air raid shelter and her last images in Kyiv. I also asked Christina if I could speak to her cousin, but she doesn't want to talk. And there's one more thing I want to know about Christina's story. Amidst the horror of what was happening in Kyiv, where did she and her mother end up? From within the bomb shelter, Christina felt helpless.
I couldn't eat at all. And I understood that I can't help. I'd be staying here. I won't help. I will just die.
Their chances of leaving the capital seemed slim.
I tried to call taxis. I tried to telegram chats. I was writing everywhere asking if there is any chance to take us with them, at least at the train station. And I felt like my chance to survive and to live, it was like a water in my hand, just going through fingers.
And then an opportunity to leave materialized. They dashed home to grab any last belongings.
I told my mom, let's go, we have only 10 minutes. We ran home. It was bombing and it was alarming. We were super scared. We started to throw things in the luggage. I took maybe only 10 pictures of all my life. I took the book I really like.
Which book was it?
100 Interiors Around the World.
Wow, that's an amazing book to take. Was it a big book?
It's a big one, yes. Before war, when I was thinking if it happens, I cried many times because if I have to leave, I should leave my books and I have like a library at home. I thought I will take only this book because I already studied it. It has many stickers. I won't leave it to the Russians if they come to my home. I will take it with me.
It must be so hard choosing what to take.
We didn't have time to choose. I was just taking like pieces of me. My mother, she was trying to take my clothes. I said, Mom, but I told you to take your things. Why did you care about me? She says, because you're my daughter. I wanted to take care of you.
Christina and her mother did manage to leave Kyiv and find their way to Poland. She says that her and her mother are safe, and her nephew too. The Book of Interiors didn't fall into Russian hands. That just sounds so scary. I'm so sorry you had to experience that, because it just sounds sort of unbelievable, really.
It is. If someone told me before that I will survive something like that, experience something like that, I wouldn't believe. It's a very strange feeling when yesterday you had an ideal life, you had everything, and now, like, we even didn't get yet that we are homeless. We don't understand what has happened.
I'm Mariana Spring, and that was the first episode of War on Truth. Please do get in touch with us if you have stories you want to share or things you'd like us to investigate. My email is mariana@bbc.co.uk. In the next episode, we hear about a man whose apartment block was destroyed by a missile and found his story being attacked by internet trolls, even as he posted videos from amongst the rubble. Death by Conspiracy, a new podcast from BBC Radio 4. Gary Matthews was an artist and photographer, a familiar sight on the streets of his hometown in Shropshire. But in the last few years, he was drawn to conspiracies. And when the pandemic hit, Gary, who was suspicious of experts, ignored the rules. When he died of COVID-19, his distraught family and friends were left searching for answers. I'm Mariana Spring, the BBC's specialist disinformation reporter, and I've been investigating what happened to Gary by delving into the conspiracy underbelly of the picturesque town of Shrewsbury. From BBC Radio 4, Death by Conspiracy, a new 10-part podcast series. Subscribe now on BBC Sounds.